As you know, when we meet together to observe the Lord's Supper, it is a time of remembrance. It's a time where we think and meditate and remember what the Lord has done for us. It's a time where we reflect to rejoice. We do that by remembering our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, and what he's done for us. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, notice what John says. This is John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which was, and which is to come. Now, this context talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And notice verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood. I want you to see, first and foremost, we remember his payment. Look at this, how he says, and he washed us from our sins in his own blood. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. On that cross, the last thing that he basically cried out, one of the last things, it is finished. It is finished. It's done. It's been paid for. What's finished? A down payment. Our sin has been paid in full. And we remember tonight that that's what he did. He washed us with his own blood. Notice what Paul says. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? For be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulteresses, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall enter into the kingdom of God. Notice what he says here. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. Now, that would give me a good indication that when we're bought with a price, we don't do those things anymore. Amen. We don't go back to be drunkards and fornicators and so forth. And if you can continue living like that, then there's something wrong with your salvation. There's something wrong. Amen. Because such people who live like that are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. We've been redeemed and paid with a price, and that price is the blood of our Lord Jesus, the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, and such were some of you. Such were some of you. You were once like this. But he says, you were washed. How? By the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me whiter. Speaking to Angelo the other day, he said they did a little error in that verse or in that chorus. We've been washed whiter than snow. Whiter. How can you get washed whiter than snow? How white is snow? Well, that's what the blood of the Lamb does. He washes us. Past, present, future sins, he washes us. That's the down payment. That's what he finished. That's the full payment with the blood of Christ. That's what we remember here tonight. We couldn't do it. He did it. He finished that work on the cross. He sanctified us. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, the regeneration. That's the born again experience that we have. We're sanctified. And then we're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Justified. We stand righteous before God like as if we've never sinned. When we accept that payment, the righteousness of God is given to us. And our sin is given on Christ, on that cross. It's hammered on that cross. That's the exchange that Pastor was talking about. He became a ransom for us. He paid it. He redeemed us. He bought us back. And that's what we remember tonight. But also, notice in our passage, his person unto him, verse 5, that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Unto him that loved us. Can I just say this today? You know what motivated the payment? It was his person. We have a God of love. And John the Apostle says this, and we have seen and do testify, we're witnesses, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He says, we witness this, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. John 3:16. The same account. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he goes on to say, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. God is love. That's his person. That's who he is. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That's what we remember here tonight. We remember his person, that God is love. I mean, if you want to talk about what real, genuine, authentic love is, you just have to look at Jesus Christ. And you just have to see what he did on that cross for us. And you have to see God the Father, how he just gave us his Son. He just let him go. That's love. And that's what we remember here tonight, his love for us. But not only that, verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Can you imagine that? That this love that was bestowed upon us, that we can stand in the day of judgment, justified, freed, because of his love. We don't have to fear when we're in Christ. The world has to fear when they come under the judgment or the wrath of God. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And the wrath of God abides upon him. But one that has believed on the Lord, one that has received Christ's love, on that day of judgment, there's boldness. And that because of his person. And that's what we remember here tonight. But notice his possession. He says in Revelation 1:6, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Kings and priests. You know, we're royalty. We're royalty. And as blood-bought believers, we can come before the presence of God as priests of God. Confident because of him, because of his payment, and because of his person. We can enter the Holy of Holies. That's what we remember here tonight. That should do something here. That should do something in your heart. That God has given me access to his throne room. Do you ever think about that? Why is it we so seldom enter into that throne room? Because we forget the payment and we forget his person. You know, we're, as Peter says it, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Look at this, a peculiar people. You know what that means? We're his purchased possessions. We're peculiar. He bought us with a price, but that we be his people and he be our God. We're for him. Look at this. That ye should show forth his praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has called us out to show forth his praise. God has called us out that we may show forth send forth the word of life, as Paul says to the Philippians. But which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So he said, back then you weren't the people of God, but now you are the people of God. Why? Because of the blood, and because of the payment, because of his person. And if you receive that, then we're basically his possession. You did you know that if you have received Christ as your own personal Savior, you don't own you, God owns you? Did you know that? That means he owns everything about you, everything. Everything that you have, every decision that you make, every step that you take, yeah, everything. It's all God's, and it should be God's. And then he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. I think Peter learnt this from Paul. Paul uses this a lot. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And that's what we learnt tonight, didn't we? Abstain from that flesh that wants its own way. We're bought with a price. And that's what we remember here tonight. We're his. We're under new management. Under new management. We don't do what we used to do. Control our lives, do what we want, make decisions, buy this, do that, go there without consulting and actually getting the approval of God. Because we're his. We belong to him in this world. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims and strangers. As we were coming out, we went out soul winning in Hamilton last night, and as we were driving back, it was about 12:30, and James says, what a big difference between what we just saw in Hamilton and what happened here last night. And for some, what happened here last night, there was a couple's dinner, and it was holy. You know, I mean, it was reverent, holy. It was different. I mean, serious. And you go out there, we just left a holy place. People of God, these peculiar people, we go on the street and we see a big difference. I mean, I'm talking about a big difference. Obviously, we want to reach people that they may know the Lord so they can enjoy what we enjoy. But can you imagine? I think I bumped into about two people last night that said, I am a Christian and I've made a decision. I said, what are you doing out here? You don't belong out here. You're backsliding, aren't you? It's all right. It's all good. Just got to remember the payment and remember his person. That's all. Remember what Peter said, that if you don't, remember what you've been purged from. He goes, later on, it's like a dog returning to his vomit. We've been purged from our sins. How can we go back to the very thing that the day we got saved, we went, I've had enough with this world and had enough with my sin. How do you go back to it? And you know when you go back to it, that sense of backsliding, that step back, if you would, that's what backsliding is. It's when you step back from what God wants you to do. Because he always wants you to move forward. He always wants you to press on. He wants you to look up. He wants you to go to higher ground. And doesn't matter, Christian, if you're in the faith for 10 years or 50 years, if you're not pressing forward, you're stepping back and you're backsliding. Don't glory in your past. That's what the whole Paul, Philippians chapter 3, is press toward the mark. A lot of people say, I used to do this and I've done this and God's used it. Well, God wants to do more. You're still breathing? God wants to do more. Stop glorying in your past and move forward. But God wants to do a lot more than what we heard, what we can do, amen? He wants to bring us to that point where we're all his. We're all his. And sometimes we forget that we're all his, don't we? We forget. That's why this night reminds us that we're all his. His possession, him, the blood-bought people of God. We're all his. And then I want you to see verse 7. Have a look at this. Behold, he cometh with clouds, his pierced body. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Here he is, he's back. Did we not crucify him? Yeah, but death couldn't hold him. Grave couldn't keep him. They're going to get a shock of their life when they see the one they pierced. You know, it almost reminds me that we're going to see those wonderful, beautiful, pierced hands. They're going to wail. Ah! We're going to go, yes! That's the one that died for me. Gave his life for me. He suffered for me. He suffered and he gave his life for thee. What a day that's going to be. That's going to be a beautiful day. You know, tonight we remember that those pierced hands. We remember those hands. We remember those feet and the side that he was pierced for us. His body was broken for us. It's broken for us. Shed blood on that cross was for us. And tonight we remember that. The Lord's Supper, there's no doubt, revives us. It really does. It makes us think about what we have in Christ. But it also makes us think what we are in Christ and what He went through to buy us. Oh, it's a precious gift, but it was an expensive one. He gave His life. 6 hours of pain and shame He endured on that cross for us. 6 hours of pain and shame He endured on that cross for us. And then we see His promise. Look at verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. The Almighty. This is Jesus, God, divine. This is God. This is one, by the way, is one of the fantastic verse to show Jehovah's Witness. It's talking about who's coming again? The Almighty. Because in Isaiah 9:6, you show them that verse, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Say, oh yeah, no, Jesus is just the mighty God. Jehovah's the Almighty. No, not according to this. Who's coming again? I thought it was Jesus coming again. He is. And He's the Almighty God coming again. The Almighty God. He's coming again. And we remember that He's coming for us. You know, remember what John said. He says this, and if I go and prepare a place for you, what does it say here? I will come again and receive you unto myself, and that where I am, there you may be also. Man, that makes you want to click your heels and get excited just for a bit. Amen. Oh, He's coming again. What a promise. That when we think about what Jesus went through, we think about also the resurrection, because He conquered death. And the promise that He's coming for us strengthens the doctrine of the resurrection. Notice what Paul says to the Corinthians, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. Till when? Yeah. Till He come. He's coming again. And we have to observe this table. Every now and then I tell you, over and over again, when the Lord's Supper's here, man, you need to be here. There are people in this room that should have made commitments and saying, I'm going to put God first. I'm going to put the things of God first. And they hear it time and time again from this pulpit, and they don't come up. You know, that breaks my heart. But I'm just an under-shepherd. What about the great shepherd? Don't you think it breaks his heart that people put material things and money before God, and time and leisures and sports and work and all these things before God? You know, they're missing out on this. Honestly, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. He wants us to be thinking about Him until He comes again. It's not something the pastor made up. It's what the Lord Jesus wants us to do. And if we're not faithful in doing those things, we are going to let them slip. And you know what happens when we do? We take a step back. You know, this observance of the Lord's Supper just is so sobering that it helps us go forward. And tonight, if there's anything, Christian, in your life that you need to get right with God, tonight's the night. Tonight's the night. If there's anything in your life, little, big, doesn't matter, that you need to get right with the Lord, get right now. And if you're so stubborn that you will not, then don't eat of this. I beg you, don't touch it. Because you know what happened in the church of Corinth? Many were sick and dying. You say, well, I don't want to die, nor do I want to get sick, so I'm not going to eat. It was never done for that purpose. It was only for you to examine yourself and judge yourself, so you will not be judged. Paul's not saying, I don't want you to eat. He's saying, no, you examine yourself and you see if there's anything in your own life and clear it up and get it right. And once you've done that, eat and rejoice again and move forward. Move forward. Step forward. Don't, honestly, Christian, don't be a Christian that takes one step forward, two steps back. It's the most miserable Christian life that you can ever live. So what's going to help me to keep taking steps forward? What's going to help me? Remember His payment. Remember His person. Remember that we are blood-bought possessions of His. Amen. We're blood-bought possessions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember His promise. He's coming back. And when He comes back again, is He going to find you? Watching. Watching. Amen. He's coming back for us. So tonight, let me just say this. I beg you, if there's anything in your life that you need to get right now. and say, Lord, I come before you, and I don't want to have anything between us, nor do I want to have anything between my neighbor. Nor do I want to have these addictions and sins in my life that are just crippling me to get the best of me. I want you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Tonight's the night. And if you're a visitor with us and you want to partake with us, I'll ask you just a few things, and please pay attention, because sometimes I let people know and people just still eat, and I don't think they understand what I'm saying. According to Acts chapter 2, we find in that the believers, those that gladly received him, okay, were baptized and added to the church. So let me just say, have you gladly received the Lord as your Savior? Have you received Christ as your Savior? And you say, I have. And then the next step, have you been biblically baptized? Have you been immersed? Have you been dipped or plunged, which shows the picture of the gospel? And then are you part of a good Bible-believing church? Because if you haven't been saved or biblically baptized or part of a good Bible-believing church, then please, if you're visiting with us, don't partake from them. We don't have it closed. That means we don't have it just for members, but we have it open to close, not completely open. We have a close communion where other believers from different churches can partake with us. You don't have to be a member in this church to observe the Lord's Supper with us. But I beg you, and this is your responsibility, if you eat and you're not saved and you're not biblically baptized or even part of a good local church, the onus is on you. I'm giving you warning. And believer, if you eat and you're not right with God, that's between you and the Lord. I don't want you to be sick and I don't want you to die. And I'm sure the Lord doesn't want you to. But listen, this is serious business. What the Lord did on that cross, he didn't do for nothing. And it wasn't a game, and there wasn't, you know, a serious thing that took place on that day. The wrath of God was upon his Son for our sins, and he was suffering for us. And so we're gonna look at this and we're gonna say, oh yeah, no, it's okay. It's all good. She'll be right, mate. You know how they use the Aussie slang? She'll be right, it's okay. Yeah. No, it's not okay. If you've got sin in your life, get it right. Amen. And you're not going to get it right and you're stubborn, then think about why you're here tonight. Don't play games with God. Thank God for God's grace. Amen. His long suffering. At the same time, his loving hand will come down. And last thing that he wants to do is chasten us. Last thing that I ever want to do is chasten my children and discipline them. But if they're going to be utterly rebellious and have an indifferent attitude, then I'm right, I'm okay, it's all good, then God has to deal with that attitude. I say that because from past experience, people are not right and they eat. So how do you know? I'm the overseer. Yeah, not just here for show. Amen. I'm a God-appointed overseer, and I'm just doing my duty before the Lord. And one day I'll give an account for the duty that I do. But even in the midst of 12 disciples, there was one that slipped through the cracks. And not to say that the Lord Jesus didn't know about him. He knew about him. He knew. But Judas is responsible for his own life. You know what God said about him? Better off that he wasn't born. Better off that he wasn't born. So the disciples were so tender to the point where they'll actually look and say, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? May God help us to have a sensitivity tonight and say, God, I come before you. As much as I know, I don't think there's anything between us, but I come before you and I just want to examine my heart tonight. So let's do that together.